And now we want to turn our attention to another international story. The UN High Commissioner for Refugees estimates that more than 2 million Iraqis have left Iraq since the start of the war. Most have fled to Syria and Jordan. In October, the Syrian government quietly closed the border. Some Iraqis are now returning home, but their return is not without its own problems. Two experts closely following the plight of the refugees are Sybilla Wilkes. She's spokeswoman for the UN Refugee Agency. She joins us on the phone from Damascus, Syria. And the UN's Anita Rahman, who's speaking to us from Amman, Jordan. Welcome. Thank you both so much for speaking with us.
Thank you. Thank you.
Anita, first to you, do you have any idea how many Iraqis have returned home from Jordan or from Syria in recent weeks?
Movements out of Jordan have been slight over the past several months. However, since August, through the Al-Walid crossing, 31,222 Iraqis have returned, not including movements in the month of October. So yes, there has been a considerable movement in.
And is there any sense of why they're going home? Are they leaving because conditions at home are better, or are conditions in their host countries becoming less welcoming? Like, for example, in Jordan, can they get work permits? Do they receive any sort of support, or is it all just a matter of friends and family?
Conditions for inside Iraq have improved, particularly within particular neighborhoods in Baghdad. However, the circumstances on the ground do remain volatile, and the time is not yet ripe to say that it's conducive to mass movement and mass return.
Okay, well, Sybilla, tell me about it. In Syria, for example, can refugees from Iraq, can they get work permits? Are they receiving any form of sort of formal support from the government, or is it a matter of relying on, you know, friends and relatives already there?
It's very, very difficult for an Iraqi to get a work permit. And for many Iraqis, we did research earlier this year in May, and 80% of the refugee families that we interviewed said that they would be running out of savings around this time. We're also hearing from family abroad that increasingly they're actually running out of savings. They've been supporting their Iraqi relatives in Syria and Jordan for some time, and they're running out of resources to continue doing that.
So people in third countries, for example, if there are family members in Europe or in the United States, they're sending money to Syria and Jordan to help their relatives there.
Exactly. We actually found 67% of the families we interviewed were receiving support from family abroad.
And do they get any support from the government? Is there any?
Well, actually, the Syrian government on a daily basis supports every single refugee that's here. Because of the way that the economy functions, virtually everything is subsidized. So electricity, water, food, fuel, everything is subsidized and heavily subsidized. So it's already having an enormous cost on the Syrian government. In addition, all public schools are open and free of charge, and many health facilities are made available. So I think the Syrian government, in terms of its support, has already done an enormous amount. We also have our program, certainly in Syria. We're already supporting tens of thousands of refugees on food aid, and we're increasing the financial support. However, we recognize it isn't enough. Just today, we got confirmation that we're going to be able to expand the food support already to 128,000 people in January, and we hope to double that within 2008.
Do you have any sense, and I know this is difficult, of how the Syrian population is viewing the refugees there? It's a lot of people to come to a neighboring country in a relatively small amount of time. And I understand that you said that the Syrian government has done quite a lot to help. But do you have any sense of just how regular people feel about the refugees in their midst?
Certainly, they're feeling the pressure. Their schools are very overcrowded. I think everybody has security on their minds. I think just basic things like services, trash collection, for example. Some of these areas where there are hundreds of thousands of refugees living, all the services are overwhelmed. Trash collection, the water supply has been affected. So the Syrian neighbors have definitely felt it.
So now some of the Iraqis are starting to go home. What are you hearing about the conditions when they do go home?
Well, we have tried to follow some of these refugees, but in fact, it's been very, very difficult to follow them. First of all, refugees who'd hoped to be able to go home actually haven't been able to go home. And some research with another NGO has actually found that only around 30% have actually been able to go home. The rest have had to go somewhere else because either their home was not in a fit state or their home was not in a safe area where they could go back to. So this has made some of the contacts that the refugees have given us quite difficult to reach. One of the things that we feel very strongly is that we're not in a position right now to recommend return to Iraqis, and simply because we're not able to follow up, we're not able to go and monitor ourselves to make sure that the situation is safe.
And you know what I wanted to ask you? I'm sorry I forgot about this. There's been a very great deal of internal displacement within Iraq, particularly since 2006. Is the UN in a position to help these people, or is that considered a responsibility of the Iraqi government?
Primary responsibility for Iraqi internally displaced persons does rest with the government of Iraq. However, the UNHCR, as part of the UN country team for Iraq, has been supporting the government since February 2006, when street-level violence became very common in Iraq's major urban areas. We've seen 1.2 million persons displaced. This comes in addition to a previous 1.2 million from prior stages of the current conflict, as well as historic human rights abuses.
Anita, what about in Jordan? Do the Iraqi refugees there have any opportunity to work? Are they also mainly living on savings and support from family?
Iraqis in Jordan do receive support through basic services, government services, but are as well facing the income pressures mentioned by Sabella in the Syrian context.
And Sabella, I understand that there's some fear among Iraqi refugees in Syria that they might be kicked out of Syria once their visas expire. Is that a real concern, or is that just a rumor sort of sparked by the anxiety that people have?
We've certainly received reassurances from very high levels that no one will be deported. And this has been the fact up to this point. So, and in those cases where people, when they've been unsuccessful in having their visa renewed, and they've had an exit stamp in their passport, actually every case that we've come across and we've then presented ourselves to the immigration has succeeded in getting a 1 to 3 month visa extension. So that's positive. We've also seen...
But that must be nerve-wracking.
It is nerve-wracking.
I mean, 1 to 3 months is not a lot of time to move an entire family to consider your future.
And the thing is, this is a situation the refugees have been under. They've had to renew their visas every 3 months now, in some cases for years, and it is nerve-wracking. And certainly we've heard from some refugees, they've made the decision to go back because they found that so nerve-wracking, not knowing what the future is going to hold.
Sabella, finally I wanted to ask, and I know it's a difficult question, particularly given that we're talking about over a million people who were from Iraq who were in Syria, maybe a million and a half, but do you have any sense of their state of mind? As a community, do you have any sense of whether they are, as a group, hopeful, as a group, anxious, as a group? Do they want to stay in Syria? Do you have any sense of that?
We've registered over 100,000 people since the beginning of the year, and one in five of those people are victims of torture or violence in Iraq. And this is such a high number that we actually recently commissioned the Harvard Trauma Survey, because this seems to be informing many aspects of their lives and the way that they're living their lives. It means that they're often not sending their children to school, that the children have also been involved in traumatic incidents, and that as a community they need tremendous support, both medical support and psychological support. So it means that they're a very vulnerable population that does need support, and does look to us for guidance. And it means that they're not necessarily ready to go back to Iraq.
All right. Sabella Wilkes, a spokeswoman for the United Nations Refugee Agency. She joined us on the phone from Damascus, Syria. We were also joined by Anita Rahman of the UN agency's Iraq operation. She joined us on the phone from her office in Amman, Jordan. Thank you both so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.